recently preached a message about the purpose of the ministry, or the ministry of John the Baptist. And this morning, with the Lord's help and blessing, we want to take a look and consider about the message of John the Baptist. Very important message. And what our Lord says regarding our brother and his calling, the calling of the Lord upon him. Here in Luke chapter 7, the message, John the Baptist, being in prison, has sent messengers and to the Lord Jesus, wanting confirmation if he is the one that the Father had promised. And seemingly we take from this that John maybe has some doubt, having been put into prison by Herod, and the way that that's all come about. And the Lord gives a good word, and he does some miracles, performs some miracles, and those brethren are there, the disciples of John, they're watching our Lord and those things that are done, and the Lord tells them a message to carry back to John the Baptist, they're being in prison. And then after those messengers leave, the Lord deals with the people there in verse number 24 of Luke 7 about John and asking them about John. And we want to just jump down here into the latter part of what our Lord said in verse number 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So our Lord Jesus Christ makes very clear that John is indeed a prophet. And the scripture tells us that the people considered John a prophet by the power of his ministry and preaching. It's interesting that John did come in the power of the Lord and was a man saved from his mother's womb. I mean, the Lord, the scripture bears that out, that he was saved from before he was even born, after he was conceived in his mother's womb, but before he was born, the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And he's a man with great power and a great message, a great presence, used by our Lord, as the scripture tells us, to prepare the way of the Lord. We'll see some about that in the message this morning. But he never worked any miracle. He never worked any miracle. And I think the reason because of that, the reason for that is that the emphasis is being put even more at this pinnacle of the work of God amongst mankind. The emphasis is being put on God's good word. And so we want to take a look this morning at John's message. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, there is no greater prophet than he. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning. We pray that you would bless in every way. Feed us with your good word. Help us, Lord, to believe you and trust you and rest in you in it. Help us, as our brothers brought out, to find the application of your word to our hearts and lives. And, Lord, that we just might walk with you and follow you in every way. Thank you for making us your children and saving us. We thank you for putting us in your church here at Olmsted Baptist Church. And help us, Lord, to shine for you until Jesus comes and be fulfilling the Great Commission. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us and strengthen us and bless us in that. Thank you for the way you have up to this time. And pray, Father, that you would continue to do so. We pray, Father, for those that are here this morning by their own testimony. They're not saved. We pray that you would visit them and save them. Father, you're able and your word is powerful. Your spirit is powerful, Lord. And we pray that you would move with your word and your spirit. And Lord, take these feeble words and this feeble preaching, Father, and take it and use it to redound for your honor and your glory and your praise. Lord, strengthen the saints and edify us, Father. Build us up in you and by your word. And Father, those that are here without Christ, we pray that you'd make them alive. Save them. Make them your own, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In John chapter 1, we're namely going to be in this passage here, but in John chapter 1, Brother John the Apostle writes about Brother John the Baptist, John the Baptist, and in John chapter 1, we'll pick it up here in verse number 6, our brother undertakes to put an emphasis, as it is in the book of Genesis, about the creation. In the beginning, God, well, in the beginning, he speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Several names of the Lord Jesus Christ are manifested or shown forth and mentioned here. But we want to take a look again at John the Baptist's message and the calling and of the Lord and the, and that which the Lord had ordained in the use of this man. In verse number 6 of John chapter 1, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I'll tell you what, get a handle on that. God sent this man. God sent John the Baptist and ordained him his entire life to be used and set aside for the Lord. The same came for a witness, and so he is a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear witness of the light. And another name for Jesus Christ is shown to us there. He is the light that lighteth the world. Our Lord Jesus is the light. There's not several different lights. There's only one light, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe, because it's only by the Lord Jesus Christ that anyone will believe. All folks trust in other men. They trust in other philosophy. They trust in other quote-unquote religion and such as that. But it's all vain. It's all darkness. It goes nowhere. It only extends to the time of this life and has really a detrimental bearing on eternity. But you know what? Jesus Christ, believing and trusting in Jesus Christ will bless your soul and rescue you in this life and also in the life to come. It's our Lord Jesus Christ that is the one in whom we are given to believe that spans time and eternity. He is the Savior. He is the Savior of the world. He said that all through him might believe. And you know, that's our desire, that every man, woman, boy, and girl that we come in contact with and cross in our lives, that they would be saved. We desire that, don't we? And we need to pray for that and be a witness of our Lord unto them. And as has been brought out and is very clear in the Scripture, salvation's of the Lord. We need to pray in the meantime that our Lord would work. It goes on to say here, he was not that light, that is John the Baptist. He wasn't that light. We're going to see about that, how some thought maybe he was, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse number 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If a man's going to be enlightened, it's only going to be by the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I need the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need God's only begotten Son as our Savior and our King and Lord. We come here and we want to drop down to verse number 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, okay, and so he's gonna start telling in this passage about the Lord Jesus Christ. But at this point, let us jump over to Luke chapter 3, and let's see the account that our Lord blessed Brother Luke with regarding the message of John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 3, verse number 7, we want to pick it up here. And verse number 7 of Luke 3, and he, that is John the Baptist, then he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, then said he, rather, to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Again, we're looking at John's message and focusing upon that. There's this group that comes to John, Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious elite of the day, and he says to them, who's warned you to flee the wrath to come? Who has warned you to flee the wrath to come? Old generation, he calls them a pack of snakes. Understand, this is the religious crowd. This is the religious elite. And they come to John looking to get to be baptized, they think. It's in vogue. It's very popular amongst the people. That's the way they look at it. They don't understand the spiritual significance of being baptized and what it means and what it represents and its purpose. And that they just see it being in vogue, and a lot of the people are going down there to John, so they just think they'll go down there too. And John sees them, and he points them out, and he publicly declares unto them, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, fellas, you haven't been here for the message. You haven't been here for my message about the wrath of God that's coming. You have not been warned to flee that wrath through the Savior that I am preaching. You've not been here for the message. I am warning. And so that we see that as John's message, that it was a message of warning. It was a message of the coming wrath of God. It's a message of how one can be rescued from that wrath. Wrath because of sin. And these that come to John wanting to be baptized, he said, you've not been warned. You've not heeded that. Listen to what he goes on to say. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. He said, I'm looking for sinners that truly are repentant before God before I baptize them. John was weighing out, are these people repentant or are they just following along? Now we know there's some, no doubt, that slipped through. Judas was one of them. But on these, he saw it all over them, this religious elite. He said, you have not been warned. You have not heard the message. You are not repentant. And listen to this. Bring therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. He said, don't claim your lineage. Don't claim your connection. Don't claim your position. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said during his ministry that these sat in Moses' seat. They were to be the people and the leaders of the people and the word of God and all things pertaining to God. But you know what? What they did rather, they took their position and they made little fiefdoms, little kingdoms out of it, and they served themselves of the people. The scripture is very clear. Our Lord's very clear on that. He said, bring some fruit that shows that you have repented, that you have trusted in the one that I am preaching. And said, and don't claim Abraham. Don't claim your connection. Don't claim who you descend from. Don't say within yourselves. Even John was understanding about what they were thinking and the way that was in their hearts. He says, Don't say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones right here, these rocks, to raise up children unto Abraham. Don't claim that because you're a Jew, you've got it set and made. That because you're a Jew, you personally are accepted of God. Your heritage won't save you. Your religion won't save you. Your self-righteousness will not save you. We look and consider a verse that Brother Paul writes to Brother Titus over in Titus chapter 3. I want you to turn over there if you have your Bible. If you have your Bible, follow along. Follow along with your Bible. Hear the word of the Lord for yourself. In Titus 3, verse number 4, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. One day it appeared to me. If you're here and saved, one day it appeared to you, didn't it? Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit of God, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Jesus is the emphasis, Jesus is the focus, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, salvation is of the Lord by Jesus Christ. My brother brought out very valid points and a very appropriate thing this morning in his Sunday school class. You know, there is perspective in the Word of God. And it's just that way. All things are not for all people. There is an audience. Nothing of the Word of God will hurt anybody. But there is a perspective. The gospel has been given by the Lord to his people, to his churches, to go and proclaim the salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of sinners. But then there's also aspects in the Scripture that tell us who are saved, like we have read at this time, that tells us about the operation and the working of God. You know, it's only the children of God that can understand and be able to receive such. Carnal men can't understand the working and operation of God. They just need to be told their condition, their sin and their wickedness before the Lord. And, you know, understanding that faith is not a work. Faith is faith. Faith is faith. Faith is not a work. You know, baptism is a work. Coming to church services is a work. Giving of yourself to the work of the ministry are works. Giving your tithes and your offerings, that's a work. Reading the scriptures and studying the scriptures, as our brother admonished us to do, and learning about the Lord, it's a work. But faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is faith. Faith. Trusting and resting in Him. And so John preaches to these fellows, and we understand by what Paul wrote here to our brother, that it's by the Lord and Him alone and faith in Him and the work and moving of the Spirit of God we're saved by faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. John, back in Luke chapter 3, he admonished these fellows, you need to have some fruit that shows your repentance. Because like Brother James says in his epistle, faith without works is dead. And he said, I'll show you my faith by what I obey my Lord in. That's what he says. And so some fine lines maybe there that get blurred from time to time. But Brother John, back in Luke chapter 3, he said, you fellas, he said, you've not been warned. You've not heeded the message. You're as self-righteous as you ever were. Don't claim what you've done. Don't claim who you're connected to make you worthy of this. The Lord has called sinners to repentance. Look at this, verse number 9 of Luke chapter 3. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. The Lord is going to deal with deadness. The Lord is going to deal with unfruitfulness. He says, John says, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. He said the axe is laid to the root of the trees. I think that this is applicable to the Lord dealing with the nation of Israel and how the leadership there did not receive Him as they should have. He is the king of the nation of Israel. He is the tribe of Judah and the offspring and son of David. They should have received Him and gladly, but they did not. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that persecutest and killest the prophets, how often would I have gathered thee together, gathered thee unto me as a chicken gathereth her chicks under her wing, but ye would not. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said about them. He said, the axe, John preaches, now the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth forth not good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. You know, there's judgment coming on fruitlessness. There is judgment coming upon fruitlessness. And you know what? Those who are without Christ don't bear any kind of good fruit. Oh, there may be the kindness of the world and the love of the world and things that where folks are courteous and moral and such as that, but the heart is separated from the Lord. And the motive is all wrong because there's no life within. And John says the Lord is coming to take that which is dead and to burn it. Yes, cast it into the fire of hell. Cast it at the white throne, great white throne judgment, into the lake of fire that burns forever. And the people ask him, verse number 10, saying, what shall we do then? And then maybe there's some confusion. And so I wanted to bring this here to our attention. So there's this group of people that come to John and say, well, what shall we do then? What shall we do? He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart it to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." What are these? Is John speaking out of both sides of his mouth? Are these folks coming and asking, what can we do to be saved? No, they already are saved. They already have received and believed and trusted in the one that John is preaching. They have heard the warning of the wrath to come. You know what? They're saved. John has baptized them because they identify with Christ, and they receive the one that John is preaching that is coming or yet is at hand. And you know what? They say, "What do we do now?" And John says, "Obey your Lord. Obey your Lord." He says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." That sounds real familiar, doesn't it? Isn't that what Jesus said? Did not Jesus say that all the commandments and the prophets hang on two commandments? Love the Lord with all you have, not just words, but every whit of your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said that's what the Lord clarified when he was asked the greatest commandment. John is saying the same thing in regards to others. Be good and do well to others. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, however you want men to treat you, you treat them that same way. That's what John is saying. He's saying, be obedient unto your Lord. He didn't tell the publicans to quit collecting taxes, did he? He didn't tell the soldiers to quit being soldiers, did he? But he said, do it well unto the Lord. Listen to this. We look here in verse number 15 of Luke 3. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ or not. See, there's a contingent there that's considered, was John the Messiah? His word is so powerful and his message is so great. And you know, it's a marvel what he says for how us to walk and to be. He doesn't say, beat down your enemies and lift up your brother and friend. But he says the same thing that we're going to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. And you and I know that. And so people are wondering, is John the Christ? John answered, verse 16, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John says, I'm not the one. John says, I've been sent before him. We're going to see that over and back in John chapter 1 in a moment. He says, there's one mightier than me that's coming, and I'm not worthy to untie his shoe. To be a bearer of someone's shoes or to deal with somebody's shoes, in our culture, indeed, it would be a humbling thing. I mean, if someone would command someone to carry their shoes, I mean, we don't want to be messing with each other's shoes, do we? Depending on how we know someone and how maybe stinky their feet are would push us to whether we would want to do it even less, right? John says, the things that you've seen in me and the blessing of the Lord upon him, he said, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. I don't qualify. In other passages in the Gospels, John says, it's recorded there that John says, I'm not worthy to carry his shoes. I'm not worthy to pick up that which is on his feet and carry them around. That's how mighty the Lord is. Hear the message of John, that Jesus Christ is greater and mightier and powerful than all. Indeed, our Lord is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we have that relationship with him. And as I mentioned to you Wednesday, I enjoy that of thinking of Christ as our elder brother, you know, we being joint heirs with Christ. But he is God. We are to reverence him. We are to hear him and obey him and trust him in what he says. And John says to these, he says, oh, it's not me, but it's the Lord that's coming. And I'm not worthy to even carry his shoes. Listen to what he says that the Lord is going to do. He tells about judgment, John's message, John the Baptist's message. He says, I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. I'm not worthy to carry his shoes. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Our Lord Jesus is the Savior. He arrests people with the Spirit of God. That's the way the Lord works. So he makes it very clear unto us in other passages in the Scripture. He's the one that visits with the blowing of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moves and works in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls, and shows them the truth of the Word of God as it's proclaimed and goes out, fills His people and His ministers and His witnesses with the Word of God that they may declare what Christ has done for sinners and the coming judgment and the warning of God. And God somehow, in some great, powerful way, makes it effectual, doesn't He? But you know what? Jesus Christ is also the judge. He's the baptizer with fire. There are many that misunderstand this. They want Holy Spirit fire baptism. I don't want any fire baptism. I praise God I've been saved from fire baptism. Don't get this confused with the cloven tongues of fire that abode upon the saints on the day of Pentecost. It's not even a connected fair, okay? It's not even a connected subject. This baptism with fire is the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the white throne judgment, sitting on His great white throne as He judges those that have rejected Him, His gospel, the way of God, and God's Word as they are judged out of the books, the very Bible, and cast into the lake of fire. They're judged by their works out of the books. He immerses rebellious, unrepentant sinners in fire. And you know what? He saves sinners too. He's mightier. He's mightier than all. He's mightier than all. And that's the message that John gives. He gives more clarification. Remember in your punctuation, if there's a colon right there, as there is at the end of verse 16, there's clarification coming about what's been said previously. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. He will gather the wheat into this garner, but the chaff will he burn with unquenchable fire. Fire unquenchable. See, Jesus is as a man that's at the threshing floor. And I know I've given you this example, but it's in the Word of God. It makes things very clear. He's going to take the wheat and he's going to get the fruit. He's going to get that, as we know in the Scripture that tells us of the seed of God that's been profitable and that has grown. He's going to get the fruit. And you know what? Just like these farmers come in fall, they're going to go out here and they're going to take their combines and they're going to bring out the corn. They're going to bring out the beans and they're going to bring in the fruit and they're going to put it to the elevator and they're going to sell it and they're going to store it up to sell it later. And you know what? The chaff, they leave in the field. Jesus is going to take the chaff and he's going to burn it. Baptism with the Holy Spirit, the fruit. Baptism with fire, the burning of the chaff. Very, very clear, the message of our brother here. And many other things, it says in verse 18, in his exhortation preached he unto the people. And you know what? We know that those many other things were about Christ. About Christ. We come back over here to John chapter 1. Back over here to John chapter 1. And we pick it up here in verse 15. John bare witness of him, John 1:15, and bare witness of Jesus, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, that he that cometh after me is preferred before me, because for he was before me. He said, this one that I've been preaching to you, you'd druther he come first. He's that great. He's that wonderful. He's that mighty. You know what? Matter of fact, he was before me. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that and preach the fallacy that Jesus is a Son of God. I tell you what, Jesus has been forevermore. He is God. He is the only Son born to God Almighty. That's how the Lord facilitated the Son coming in the flesh. The Spirit of God abode upon Mary, she had never having known a man before, and conceived within her the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. And you know what? He became a man. He says, you would rather he come before me, but I've been sent before him. And all of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. Well, the working of the Lord, the salvation of the Lord, his fullness. You know, we're like a bunch of people sitting on the road, not having any idea where we needed to go, not knowing where we were going, and wallowing around in our sin and our depravity. And God sent his Son, and Jesus came, and the light shined, and we've been rescued. Fullness. Fullness. You know what? The farmers are enjoying very much this rain, as Brother Bobby thanked the Lord for, and the abundance of the harvest. I mean, if they can get it out of the field, it's really going to be a whopper this year. Fullness. Fullness. That's what our Lord does. He gives life. And those that he gives life bear fruit in and through him. Fullness and grace, the kindness, the favor of our Lord to visit sinners with his salvation word and truth. Verse number 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, the law stood against us. The law is our schoolmaster to show us that we needed something else. No one has ever been saved by the law. It's the law that pointed to Christ. It is the law that Jesus Christ kept for the sake of his people. He kept the law for me. And in the greatness and the power of God, somehow God can take Jesus Christ's righteousness and fulfilling and obeying the law in every whit, and he can take it and put it over here on me, on you, if you're here and saved. And you know, somehow the Lord took my sins. Somehow the Lord took my sins, even though my Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh lived before my time by 2,000 years. Somehow he took my sins and laid them on him. Oh, fullness received and grace and truth by our Lord. No man has seen God at any time, verse number 18. John's message, hear that, John's message, no man has seen God at any time, only the begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. See, it's by the Son, S-O-N, capital S-O-N, it's by the Son that we really can know and see and understand and believe in God. God, our Creator. Our Lord, our King. It's only by Jesus. It's Jesus has revealed. Jesus knows him intimately. And he has declared him unto us. That's what he told the disciples. He said, all things that the Father has given me, I've declared unto you. I've given unto you. We come to verse number 19 of John chapter 1. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. And we've seen that. He said, I'm not the Christ. Who are you? And they ask him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Or Elijah? Art thou that prophet? And he said, no, I'm not that prophet. And they said unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, as was prophesied. Crying in the wilderness. I'm crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Make straight his way. Fill up every valley. Bring down every mountain, as it says in other accounts. You know what? The world is going to see the salvation of the Lord, that passage ends up with, because Jesus is going to come and do the impossible. You know what's impossible for sinners like you and me to be saved? It's impossible. But not with God. Not with God. Not with God. The Lord has done the impossible by giving us and bringing us salvation through his Son. They said, John, who are you? He said, I'm the one that cries in the wilderness. Make the way ready for the Lord. Make the way ready as Isaiah prophesied. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, nor that prophet? Why are you baptizing? And this is an important point. This is important. Why are you taking people that repent in this baptism of repentance, or because of repentance that you preach? Why are you taking people and putting them under the water and bringing them back up? Why are you baptizing, John? And see, I want us to see this. May the Lord help us to see this. John was given something to do unto those that came unto them repenting of their sins and confessing the Savior that he was preaching. He was given a symbol and a token to tell what Jesus was going to do. Isn't that a blessing to see that? This prophet, the last prophet, if you will, the last Old Testament prophet, was the one that was given a token and a symbol by that which he administered to others that came repenting of their sins and confessing Christ that literally showed what Jesus was going to do. We have hints of it in the Old Testament scriptures. We have, as our brothers bring out in the book of Acts, about how David prophesied that the Lord would not suffer our Lord to see corruption, that the Lord would be sitting on the right hand of the Father. The suffering that Isaiah tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would do. That one passage that is there in the law given to Moses, that cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. But we didn't know and see completely about his death and his burial and his resurrection. Remember, John's the forerunner. And this, how many people did he baptize that came forth confessing Christ? I mean, the man was busy down there in Jordan where there was much water, wasn't he? Baptizing these believers. You know what? It's all showing what Christ would do in a couple years, in a few years. Isn't that wonderful? It's John. Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, showing forth what the Savior will do. But there one that standeth among you, whom ye know not, he it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. We've looked at that. He says, I'm baptizing because the one that's going to do this is here. I'm bearing witness of the light. And he's going to die, be buried, and raised from the dead. He didn't tell it, but he showed it in that which the Father had given him to do. I find that a wondrous thing. It goes on to say here in verse 28, these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing, over to the east of Jerusalem and over there towards the east of Jericho. The next day, listen to this, the message of John. If you're here and you're not saved, hear this. We who are saved, may we rejoice in it, that the Lord has shown this to us. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look at that. Hear that message. Look at him. This is the Lamb of God. This is the one that is the filling of that prophecy of Abraham. The Lord will prepare himself a sacrifice. Isaac is on the way with his daddy. They got the fire. They got the wood. They got no animal. Isaac knows there's supposed to be an animal for a sacrifice. And he asks his daddy about it, right? And Abraham, our brother, says, the Lord shall provide himself a sacrifice. John says, there he is. Look on him. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold him. I tell you what, I think we can correctly declare, look unto him. Look unto him for all that you need for the salvation of your soul. John's message was, look at Christ. See, he was baptizing sinners, but he wasn't saying, look to baptism, was he? Look to the water. No, he says, look to Christ. Look unto Christ. Behold, that's what that word means. Look to, look at, look unto. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me, he is the everlasting God, God the Son, and I knew him not. I didn't know what he looked like. I didn't know who he was. It's a testimony to Jesus coming, as Isaiah prophesied and told, there's no beauty in him that we would desire him. Our Lord Jesus blended him with the crowd until he spoke. He said, and I knew him not. Listen to this. but that he should be made manifest to Israel. The Lord said, my Savior is going to be manifested to Israel. John, I'm going to show him forth. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. I've come baptizing because the Lord's going to show his Savior. The Lord's going to show his Savior that's going to complete this, that's given in this token of baptism. He's going to die, and therefore, of necessity, need to be buried, and he's going to raise again. Look at that. All those years, and I believe the ministry of John was years long, he was baptizing and telling about Christ, was what Christ was going to come and do. And these sinners that repented of their sins and looked towards Christ that John preached, they identified with Christ in that, not fully understanding what it would be, but it was telling about Christ the whole time. The message of John. The message of John as he preached, and the message as he administered that which was given to him by God. He said he's going to be manifest to Israel. That's the reason that I'm baptizing with water. Listen to this, verse 32, very important. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. I didn't know what he looked like. But he that sent me, who's that? God Almighty. He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, John, upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. That's how John knew the Savior. Heaven opened up and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and abode upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got God the Son at hand obeying the Lord and working in that work to take that authority of baptism and transfer it from the man sent from God who was given that authority to his church. That's at hand there. Jesus is there. He is baptized. The Spirit of God descends from heaven like a dove and abides on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what John's looking for, to know who the Messiah is. And then God the Father speaks and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Trinity is at hand, aren't they? And John says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There's going to be sin taken away. It's going to be by this lamb, this sacrifice. He said, and the Father told me who to be on the lookout for. He is the Savior. Verse number 34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. We come on down here to verse 35. The next day after John stood, John's message, again, is the emphasis this morning, and two of his disciples are standing there near him, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, fellas. There he is. There he is. Behold the Lamb of God. That's what John declared. That was his message. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Salvation is of Jesus Christ. Salvation is by Jesus Christ. And the fruit of salvation is back unto our Lord Jesus Christ. We as the children of God, who do we bear fruit unto? We bear fruit unto our Lord by him and because of him. We've been called to obey. And the Lord has given us everything that we need to obey him. Listen to this. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. You know, that's what believers do. Oh, we can talk and squirm and fish and wallow around and contort and all kinds of things. But the way it boils down, those that believe and trust in Christ, those that have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, they follow Christ. And John wasn't interested about them following him. But John was interested solely and completely on the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. John's message is follow him. John the Baptist was the first prophet to show exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ was going to do in his death, burial, and resurrection. Not necessarily by his preaching. From the accounts that we have of what John preached, there's nothing that declared there other than that he is the Savior and he is the judge. But in this thing of baptism, he was showing it all along, wasn't he? Every day he went down to Jordan and there came those, bringing fruits suitable to show their repentance unto God for their sins, John baptized them as they looked to the Lord and His Messiah that John said is coming, that John then said is at hand, and John said, there He is. He baptized them and showed what Jesus would do, that Jesus would die and by necessity need to be buried. But He wouldn't stay there. He rose from the dead. And then in Jesus' ministry and the fulfilling of the gospel, now we've got the detail, don't we? But John and his message was the first to show it in a more exacting way. Because of the death, He would be buried, our Lord Jesus Christ, and raised from the dead. John was given a symbol or a sign to show it and by which repentant folks identified with Christ. See, that's when we're baptized, we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I needed Him to do that for me. It's by what He has done and by Him that sinners are saved. If you're here and you're saved, that's how you've been saved. How repentant folks identify with Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world. The message of John the Baptist.